tomorrow, where we remember the fallen soldiers, fallen men who served in the military, fallen men and women who served in the military. And so I thought tonight on Memorial Day Eve, we would do a little something about soldiers, since being a soldier, that's a great object lesson in the Bible with Christianity, and there's several types and things like that. Athletes and soldiers is one of them, but that's what we'll do tonight. And I told the kids, I told Mary Beth, I felt like I preached a while this morning, so I probably won't preach very long tonight. And then they laughed at me, and so we'll see. 2 Timothy chapter 2 is where we're at. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. And I'm gonna give you 7 things about a soldier this evening, particularly as they relate to a Christian's life. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Paul tells Timothy this. He says, "Thou therefore," after all these things he said in chapter 1 and beginning of chapter 2, he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Endure hardness. It means put up with junk. Just put up with stuff. And put up with it, and not only put up with it, but continue doing the right thing while you're putting up with it. And that's the, I think sometimes you get the idea that patience is just going through things. Patience is not just going through things. Patience is going through things and continuing to do the right thing while you're going through the thing. And so it says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you 7 things this evening about a soldier. And I don't have a lot of notes on all these 7 things. I just got 7 points, but we'll talk about them. And it's a great, great description of a Christian's life, or what a Christian's life is supposed to be like. But let's pray, and then we'll dig right into this. Father, I pray that you'd open up the scripture to us, help us apply it. It's really the point tonight, to take an object lesson and make the applications, just like Paul did with Timothy, using military as a lesson here. And I pray that you'd help us tonight make the applications that need to be made. Maybe correct the mindsets that need to be corrected. Whatever we need to be dealt with, I pray that you deal with us. I pray you'd feed your flock. Thank you for everybody that's here tonight. I pray that you would bless each soul for being here. And Lord, that you just help us through these things. So I really, really thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. And really thank you for these words that you've given us. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here's the things. I'm going to go through them. I'll give you the topics, the subjects, 7 things, and then we'll go back through them and deal with each of them individually. So he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So here's some things that deal with a soldier. Number one, a soldier has a country that he serves or honors. So he's a representative of a country, or she's a representative of a country, and they honor that country. That's who they're fighting for, is that nation. Number two, a soldier loves his people, or loves her people. They sacrifice their lives for people in their country and for their families and things like that. A soldier loves his people. Number three, a soldier has been deputized with the power of life and death. It's kind of interesting. You know, people go to war, and what I say, they've been deputized with life and death. Generally, typically, people go to war, people die in war, but nobody gets taken to trial for shooting people generally. There may be some high profile trials where the media wants to make an example of somebody in order to push a political agenda or something. But generally, when people die in war, that's part of war. And so the people that are doing the killing, they've been deputized to do that, and so they're not under any legal ramifications for doing what they do in war. Number four, a soldier submits his will to the orders of his leadership. And oftentimes at the cost of very much of it in his own life. Number five, a soldier is equipped for his warfare. You sign up for the military, you go through boot camp, and you get equipped. If you make it through all that, then you get prepared to do some sort of job in the military. You get equipped for the mission that you're supposed to accomplish. So a soldier is going to be equipped for his warfare. Number six, a soldier is trained in his warfare. So you got to get training, the proper training for the, whatever mission you're supposed to be conducting. And number seven, a soldier is proven before he's ever given a mission. Not everybody just gets to go out and be on the Delta Force or whatever. There's a proving period of time so that you are capable and able to perform what's required to be performed. And so those are the seven things. We'll go back over them here and just deal with each of them, particularly as they relate to the Christian life. So like Paul says to Timothy, in light of everything I've told you, now therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. First thing we'll talk about, a soldier has a country that he honors, just like a Christian. All right, our home, if you're saved, your home is not in this world. It is, as he says in Colossians, set your affections on things above. Jesus Christ is your life. When he arrives, that's when your life arrives. That's when the reward. That's when all those things get sorted out that need to be sorted out. But a soldier has a country that he honors, that he fights for, that he lives and dies for. She lives and dies for, just like a Christian. And all of our lives, I mean, if you're saved, the idea that you would, Jude says it this way. He says, contend earnestly contend for the faith. You've got to put out an effort. Christianity doesn't happen on by osmosis or by accident. So it's a personal decision to address things that need to be addressed. Sometimes this fighting for your country or representing your country is out in the world. Sometimes it's even personal within your own discipline, within your own life, within your own body, things like that. And so just like a soldier has a country that he honors or she honors, a Christian is a representative of a different country. Just thinking about this morning, so when Jesus Christ is answering John's question that we went over so many times in Matthew chapter 11, and he keeps representing or explaining or saying the kingdom of heaven does this, he's explaining, he's the representative, he's the ambassador, and he is representing a nation that is not of this world. It's not on this world. And so as that representative, whatever the world, whatever feedback he gets from the world, the nation that he's representing accepts that or takes that as a personal either affront or an encouragement or it's either friendship or enmity with heaven, really, is who he's representing. But a soldier has a country he honors. Second thing is this. A soldier loves his people. I've heard, maybe I've said it before, but the way we talk about love, particularly nowadays and maybe it's not just nowadays, maybe it started years ago, but the word love is thrown around just so carelessly. And true love is, according to the Bible and according to reality, true love can be measured by a sacrifice. And that's what Jesus Christ says. He says over there in John chapter 15, verse 13, he says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." That's a measurement. Greater love, meaning you can't do any more than that, than give your entire life for your friends. You don't have any more to give. That's why he says there's nothing greater to give. If you give your whole life for your friends, that's the complete measurement of love. Because there's nothing else to give. And so a soldier will sacrifice himself. I think back to, several books I've read, and I've never been in the military. Just gonna read books on them, but on things in the military. But I remember reading, which one was this? This was, I think it was SEAL Team 6, and he was talking about being in Mogadishu. If y'all remember, I think they made a movie about it. It was Black Hawk Down, something like that, years ago. But the Black Hawk helicopters got shot down, and they landed in Mogadishu. And anyhow, they're in Mogadishu. He's talking about being in this stripped down Humvee. This thing has been shot up, and it's been modified and all kinds of things. And they're driving around in the center of the Capitol. And as they're driving around, these folks start coming out of the woodworks, and they start shooting at him. And he's just realizing, this is not going to be good. Because they're just driving around in their Humvee, and they're trying to get to wherever they're going. And he starts driving around. I wish I could remember his name. It's not Latrell. It's, I can't remember. I can't even remember now. Anyhow, it'll get to me. It'll come to me when I finish all this. But he's driving around in this Humvee, and his friends there with him, and they're trying to get to wherever they're going, and people start just coming out of the woodworks with AK-47s and just start shooting at the car, and it starts getting shot up, and it's an incredible story just to read. I can't even imagine being there, but just to read the story is just incredible. And these guys have such a camaraderie, having been through things like that. He describes, so these folks are coming out with AK-47s, they're shooting at him, and about that time he's driving, this fella's driving, and the Humvee starts to slow down, and he starts trying to push the gas pedal more, and he realizes his foot's been shot, and it's laying like this, and he doesn't have any pressure on the gas pedal, and he's just like, so he grabs his other foot and puts it on the gas pedal, and they keep driving. It's just this incredible, incredible story. And it's not just a story, it's what happened to him. Well, these guys go through such incredible things, and they do all that. They risk their lives to honor the country that they serve and to serve with other men and women and to sacrifice their lives. No one else in any other situation, I don't know, it's a situation where people are willing to put their lives on the line for other people, and it is just exactly like Jesus Christ said it, just exactly like the Bible describes. And I say all this to say this, the idea that I think sometimes Hollywood promotes of love, you find more love sometimes on a battlefield than you do in some of these movies and things like that, because that's where people are sacrificing their lives. People are putting themselves in harm's way for someone else. And so here's the second point of all this. A soldier loves his people. He loves the people that he's with. He loves his nation. He loves the folks he serves with. And there's nothing like serving with fellow Christians in you could say, the trenches, but serving with fellow Christians and doing the work of God together, being encouraged together, and growing together in all that. It is probably a proven fact that when people go through hard things together, they're united together in that. I mean, they're bonded together. So all that to say this, a soldier, number two, a soldier loves his people. Number three, a soldier is deputized with the power of life and death. How do you apply that to Christianity? Here's an application. When you got saved, you understand what it takes to have eternal life. And you understand what is eternal life and what isn't eternal life. I mean, if you have it, you understand how you got it. And this is what probably makes people, some folks, so angry when you say things like, do you know where you're going when you die? And someone says, well, no one can know that. And then somebody like you or me says, well, you can know that, and I'll show you how if you would like to know. And they kind of get frustrated that no one can know something like that, meaning, how can you pronounce death on me, or how can you pronounce life on me? Who are you to say this thing? And so, kind of in a spiritual way, I guess, a Christian is deputized with life and death, just like the disciples. He sends them out and he says, you know, if they'll receive you, then your peace will be on them. If they aren't going to receive you, you wipe the dust off your feet and go on, and judgment will follow you and things like that. But you think about it from the world's position, and I think about this quite often. If someone who's not saved believes salvation or righteousness comes from doing good things, and then you come up to them and say, hey, I know where I'm going when I die, to them that sounds like you're the most arrogant person that ever lived, because their idea of salvation is, I got to do good, and here you are saying, well, no one can beat me, I've done so much good, I'm going to heaven. I'm saying that's what it sounds like to them. That's not reality, that's what it sounds like. That's why some folks have the reaction they have. But in reality, a Christian who has received Jesus Christ and has eternal life has the ability to pronounce and to say, look, if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ, you don't have any life. Or if you've trusted Jesus Christ, you have life. A soldier has been deputized with the power of life and death. You can say those things with confidence. You understand how you got eternal life. Number four, here's another one. A soldier submits his will to the orders of his leadership. And that's probably, I remember... I was just reading, Dan Crenshaw, his book. He's the eye patch guy. Yeah, I was listening to it. Audible. Yeah, you can listen to books. That's a good thing. and he's talking about SEAL training and things like that. And... he talks about, you know, going under the water and all this, you know, some of the things they do, and he says in some of the training aspects are not meant to prepare you to encounter anything like this. For instance, there's an exercise where he goes through and talks about, you know, his hands are tied behind his back. They go into a deep pool, and what they got to do is they got to bounce off the bottom, come up, breathe, go back down, and they do this for I don't know how many minutes, but their hands are behind their back, and this is how they, you know, they just, this is what they do for I don't know how long. And all of this is just, it's not simulation of anything. That's what he says. There's never going to be a time when you actually use this. The whole point in all this is to learn how to take direction And they tell you, okay, when this happens, then you do this, and this is how you get out of this. And then, for instance, he has another one where he talks about you let all your air out, and you go underwater, and then they tie up your air tank, and these two guys, I mean, they just mess it up. They'll take it out, and you've got to not only get your air tank back together and start breathing again, but then you've got to do something else. Maybe it's some demolition thing. You've got to you take out a bomb or whatever the thing is. But you've got to do this stuff all after you've exhaled and you go down. And he says there's never a time where you're going to actually do that. The point is, they tell you what you're supposed to do, and the whole exercise is just to follow direction. And to follow direction under stress. To be able to not panic and just focus on what directions you've been given and just do exactly what you've been told without panicking. So, wow, something's going on. Something's going on. All right, so a soldier submits his will to the orders of his leadership. And he may not like the orders or whatever, but that's part of the duty. That's part of the job. And so, like Dan Crenshaw says, and I think the other one I was reading, I think it's Marcus Luttrell. I can't remember. Anyhow. No, he was the Lone Survivor one. Never mind. I don't know. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But anyway, the point of some of the exercises is just to train people to take direction under stress without panicking and without causing trouble, without getting into trouble, and being able to accept someone else's instruction in the midst of a chaotic situation. So a soldier submits his will to the orders of his leadership. That's a case where you're just being trained to do something like that, or just trained to submit your will and instruction, listen to instruction. Other times where you're being told to do something you don't want to do, and just that's part of the job. You just got to do what you're told if you don't want to do it. All right, here's another one. Three more and we'll be done. A soldier is equipped for his warfare. You could go to Ephesians 6 and deal with spiritual warfare. Talks about the shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, all these things. Your warfare, my warfare as a Christian, the Bible says it's not physical warfare. You couldn't take a 20 gauge to the devil and win. It's not a physical warfare. It's mental, it's psychological, it's spiritual. Those are the areas of the warfare that you're going to deal with as a Christian. So a soldier is equipped for his warfare, and you're equipped. Everything you need is in Jesus Christ to be fully equipped to do the work that needs to be done. Let's see. Number 6. I'll just go on here. Soldier is trained in his warfare. He's trained. We dealt with some of the training a while ago, but there's other aspects of training, obviously, where you're going to have to rely on muscle memory and things like that. I'll give you an example in the Christian life. So the Bible says meat and milk, and he makes a distinction. He says milk belongs to babes, meat belongs to, you know, those who are more mature. But when he defines meat, it's not that you're more mature because you're older. It's not that you're more mature because you have more information. When Paul talks about it in Hebrews, and he says meat belongs to them who are more mature. He says they're exercised in these things. That means they've put what they know to use, and they've been exercised, and now they've got, like, you have muscle memory. They've got spiritual, I guess, muscle memory, and they've been exercising to discern right and wrong and good and evil, and they've been exercising themselves in these things, and that is a training process whereby it strengthens a Christian so they can handle more responsibility. Yeah. That's a part of it. That's the thing. Those things are pieces in the puzzle. You know, you memorize verses, but there's more to. What I'm saying when I get to it is there's not memorizing verses is a part of this. It's just like this. I guess if you're a soldier in an army, and they give you, I don't know, they give you a gun. Right, but you don't know anything about using a gun. You've never used a gun. You've never taken it to the range. That's the same thing as memorizing verses but never applying the verse. Like I have this gun, but I've never taken it to the range. I don't know how to load it. I really don't know the capabilities of this thing. And so it's a start. I mean, you have a gun, that's a start, but that's not the exercise of it is what makes the person capable of handling more responsibility. So a soldier is trained in his warfare. So, you know, he talks about it in Hebrews, the exercising will make someone strong for meat and able to digest meat and just stronger things. And that's what Paul's telling Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier. You know, there's going to be some things that you're going to have to just put up with and continue on the right track and just deal with them, go through it. And then last is this, and maybe this should have been first, I don't know. But last is this, a soldier is proven before he's given a mission. The government, the United States government, doesn't just send whoever on whatever mission there is in a foreign country. There's training, there's operations, there's special operations, and there is a proving time. There's initially, for instance, there's boot camp, there's whatever special training is going to be involved with their mission, but there is a proving time, and the proving time is not only to train the soldier, but also to weed the bad things out of the soldier, and even weed out the bad soldiers. Going back to this, I guess it's on my mind because this was the last military book I just read, but Crenshaw is talking about his SEAL training and how he went through, they call it Hell Week, and it's just 6 days of nonstop. They feed you good, but you just get destroyed in the process. And the point is to break you down. The point is to just completely break you down. And so through that process, the first time he went through Hell Week, he got about halfway through it and he broke his leg. But anyone wanted to know he broke his leg, because that means you're done. If you can't perform the functions, it's just about the job. That's all it's about. And if you can't do the job, it's not emotional, it's not feelings based. It's just, can you perform the job or can you not perform the job? Doesn't matter how you feel about the job, it doesn't matter how much you want the job. If you can't perform the job, then you're not a fit for the job. So he's coming in one time, comes into the mess hall and to eat, and he eats, just voraciously eats his food, because they're cold, they're hungry and all that stuff. And he knows when he gets in there, his leg is messed up. So after he eats, everybody gets up to go back outside wherever they're going to go. And he tries to take a step up, and he can't. He cannot put any weight on his leg. And he tries it again, and he's just stuck there. And he knows in that moment, his Hell Week is done. He cannot do this anymore. And so, of course, one of the officers, you know, says a few choice words to him and tells him to get up and all that kind of stuff. And he asks him this question. He says, "Are you hurt or are you injured?" And it's a different thing. He says, because everyone in Hell Week is hurt. We're all hurting. But if you're injured, meaning you can't perform this anymore, then we have to address this medically. And so Dan Crenshaw sits there and he says, "I'm injured. I know I'm injured." And so, of course, they take an x-ray and his leg's broken and all that kind of stuff. And so that was his first round of going through Hell Week. He ends up making it through the next time he goes through it. But the point is, in all of this, the soldier gets proven along the way, because the task and the mission is the only thing that really matters. And if the mission can't be performed, hopefully the soldiers get weeded out along the way that can't perform it, and those that can perform are made to they're equipped and they're able to perform what the task is, just like a Christian. The point is, what's the mission? Can you perform the mission? And if you can't perform the mission, then you don't need to be involved with what the mission is. Of course, if you're saved, you have a mission. You've been equipped. You've been given all of the things that you need to do what God wants you to do in Jesus Christ. The soldier's going to be proven before he's given a mission. Now, this can be some special stuff. We can deal with it with Timothy. Timothy's going to be a pastor, so he's going to be, I guess you could say, put through some things that are going to equip him to be a pastor. And so the point is, the mission is the thing. That is what matters, and that is the purpose of the training. That's the purpose of the proving of the soldier. All those things revolve around what are you supposed to be doing? What is it you're supposed to be doing? We used to, I'll say it this way. We used to at work, we'd hire people. One of the things that we always did, or tried to anyway, is everything is about the job. So you eliminate all this other nonsense like race and ethnicity and whatever other things get thrown into the mix to complicate the mix. The whole thing is about the job. That's all it is. And if you cannot perform the job, I don't really care why you can't perform the job. I am hiring someone to perform this job. And if you cannot perform this job, it doesn't matter to me necessarily why you can't, but it just means you're not eligible or equipped to do the task that I'm hiring for. I mean, I hope that makes sense. It just eliminates all the complications, just like a soldier being proven for a specific mission. And if you cannot perform the mission, then these soldiers get weeded out, things like that. But as a Christian, if you're saved, you have been equipped and given everything you need to do exactly what God wants. Everything you need is in Jesus Christ. You've been given the words of God. Everything you and I need to do what God wants us to do, we have. So we've been equipped, and so Christianity is very much like a military, a soldier. That whole object lesson works really well with Christianity. So that's what Paul says to Timothy. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. We'll get out of here. Father, I pray it's been helpful. Go through these things, and just a really simple object lesson, but I pray it's been helpful. Thank you for everybody that's here. I pray you'd help us as a church to be really mission-minded, not just missionaries, but also missionaries. But what is our function here? What are we trying to accomplish here? And really, what are we trying? What have you told us to accomplish? What have you told us to do? And I pray we would get a clear understanding of that for our community and how to do it. Really, how do we do what we're supposed to do here? And please help us. We desperately need help. Thank you again for everybody that's here this evening. Thank you for your words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. And whatever's been going on with all these sirens and ambulances and things, Lord, I pray that you would help the folks that are involved in this. I don't have no idea what's happening, but pray that your grace would be abundant there, and you would address the situation the way it needs to be addressed in your wisdom and in your mercy. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.